All right, ready for the third case. This is USA versus Renee Salvador Romero. Mr. McClellan.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Robert McClellan. I'm an attorney from Greensboro, North Carolina, from the law firm of Ivy McClellan, Gatton & Talcott. I represent the appellant in this case, Renee Salvador Romero. The issue before the court, primary issue, is whether the defendant is categorized as a felon under federal law for purposes of the sentencing guidelines in this particular case. And in light of the ruling of the court, not only from U.S. versus Simmons, which the court's aware of having ruled in Bonk, but also to the Caricuri case of Rosendo that the United States Supreme Court ruled on, that was the seminal case for the Simmons opinion. The circumstances in this case is
where... Let me ask one question, though.
Certainly.
What's the maximum sentence that your client could have received for the jail felony?
Well, under the way his particular case was ruled, and you have to go directly to the... If looking at the record on appeal and going to page number, I believe it's 115, Your Honor. If you're looking on that particular page, it indicates what the judgment is in his case. And the judgment in that particular case indicated that he was to be punished.
That's not my question. My question is, what is the maximum sentence he could have faced? What is the maximum sentence the judge could have given him under the jail felony?
That's the issue, Your Honor. In this particular case...
That's why I asked you that question. What's your answer to it?
My answer, Your Honor, is he could only give him, the way that it's checked here, 1 year. The box is checked and says, in exact terms, in accordance with the penal laws of Texas, the court finds that the ends of justice would best be served by punishment as a Class A misdemeanor. It doesn't say that there's authorization to go above that.
No, but that doesn't give the maximum sentence. That just tells you what the punishment is.
Well, if the court, the issue for the court, if the court says that his maximum possible punishment is a Texas jail felony, and that's it, then the particular punishment in that particular case is up to 2 years.
Okay.
In this particular case, the court has actually checked the box and said he will be treated as a Class A misdemeanor. Now, under Shepard...
Wasn't the sentence 180 days?
Yes, it was, Your Honor.
That's 6 months.
180 days, Your Honor, that's correct.
Right. And isn't that what...
The page before...
1.2B1B says?
In this particular occasion, 180 days, 6 months... And under those particular circumstances, we contend that doesn't match what a federal felony would be, which is, of course, more than 1 year.
Well, what does that 2L1.2B1B say? A conviction for a felony drug trafficking offense for which the sentence imposed was 13 months or less.
That's correct, Your Honor. It fits that designation, but it still says felony in there. The word felony is directly put in there and directly to the court in this particular case says it's a misdemeanor, Class A misdemeanor in Texas.
You will acknowledge, will you not, that a felony under federal law may be entirely different from what a felony under state law is?
Absolutely. And that's the whole reason we're here, because the felony, we're not dealing with a Texas felony, we're dealing with a federal felony.
If you go down to the application notes, the definitions under B4, drug trafficking offense means an offense under federal, state, or local law that prohibits, et cetera, et cetera.
That's correct, Your Honor. Under that definition, it does say that if a drug trafficking offense under federal, state, or local law that prohibits the manufacture, import, export, distribution, or dispensing of an offer to sell, and that deals with circumstances in which that would normally be a drug trafficking offense. That's not defining a felony. There is
a little bit further then to 2, definition of a felony for purposes of section B1A, B, and D. Felony means any federal, state, or local offense punishable by imprisonment for a term exceeding 1 year.
Exactly, Your Honor. Number two says exceeding 1 year. And under this particular terminology, where the judge has actually put in the judgment, so it satisfies United States versus Shepherd, in which you look at the underlying documents themselves. The court documents tell the court no more than a Class A misdemeanor, and in federal under Texas law, where this is being applied, that means not more than 1 year. So by any application on the particular judgment, it can't be more than 1 year.
As to this defendant, could the judge not have checked that box?
Well, I don't know if, Your Honor. I'm not a Texas judge, and I don't claim to be. And
certainly, too. You think there's any limitation on what judges can do?
Well, I'm trying to find that out, Your Honor.
Okay.
The circumstances here are certainly ones where, in this particular occasion, since the judge himself put the check on the box.
That's not that, but you're missing the critical point, in my opinion. That's the decision the judge made in his discretion. That's contrary to the Simmons en banc decision. And that, in Simmons, we looked at the very complicated and complex sentencing matrix in North Carolina. And for that defendant, he absolutely could not be punished above a certain level. This defendant could have been punished above the 180 days, in my opinion, but you think I'm looking at the law incorrectly?
Well, there's nothing in here that says the court, in my discretion, I will set aside the possible punishments he could receive as a state.
Yes, it says that. It says, in accordance with section of the penal laws, the court finds that the ends of justice would best be served by punishment. That's what the court's saying. I find that in this case.
Well, at any rate, Your Honor, if we go back, and Simmons, of course, dealt only with North Carolina applications. Of course, the court initially found in that case a different ruling. The court held in Bonk to adjust that ruling.
I know they did. I was there.
I'm sure each of you were. And the circumstances being that now we're not really dealing with a North Carolina application. We're dealing with a Texas application.
I know, but the road taken from Simmons, I believe, is that, see, the question there was punished for an offense punishable by more than 1 year. The question was, do you look at the generic offense or do you look at the specific conditions that are attained in an individual defendant's case? I think that's the rule taken from the in-bank decision in Simmons. And so I'm just suggesting when you look at the, you may be right, but I'm just suggesting what it appears to be to me, is when you look at the conditions that are attained for this specific defendant, that the judge could have decided no ends of justice. He could have just given him up to 2 years.
Well, as soon as you say could, you turn back to a hypothetical defendant, which was the issue in Carachuri-Resendo.
No, that's not correct. That is not correct at all. Could, the way we used to do it, was not look at the facts of the specific case as to that defendant, but you look at any other defendant. In this case, we're looking at what could have happened to this specific defendant. And this specific defendant, as I read the law, you read it as well, I know, and you can argue differently, but it appears to me that he could have received up to 2 years, but the judge decided, under all conditions that attain, I can give you 2 years under the law, but I opt not to give you 2 years. You read it differently than I do.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm reading the judgment very literally, because
matter of sentencing in Texas a matter of where he's going to be placed. In a lot of those western states, if you get less than a year, you can serve in a county jail as opposed to a state correctional institute. Right or wrong about that?
Well, that's correct, Your Honor. The reason for the state jail felony is so they would serve their time sitting in a Harris County jail and not having to go to the state penitentiary for a higher cost or state application of funds. The circumstances here, certainly, though, when it is on the judgment itself, and certainly I don't think the judge wrote it in there, so the judge had a place to check, and he could acknowledge on the form itself on page 115 again of the record. That particular box is checked. The judge had other options. Those weren't chosen. So certainly here, the judge has chosen that he will be sentenced as a Class A misdemeanor, that being up to 1 year and no more. So we're right to the very line. There's no question, had it been a year and a day, or say in particular this particular case, 14 months, we'd be talking about a different issue. But many states have adopted that as a rule, knowing that the federal sentencing structure is different. So we contend here that based on the judgment, based on an application of the Shepherd case, in which you look at the underlying documents presented in the court case.
Are we looking at this for plain error?
If y'all please, this is one, an issue of law, and certainly, too, we contend that if this is one of de novo review of an issue of law, we contend that this court can make a determination.
What I'm asking, is this plain error review, a harmless error review on this point?
Well, at this particular point, Your Honor, we would contain it's plain error, because it's certainly part of the judgment.
Well, in the fourth box down on page 115, in accordance with section 12, so forth, he's adjudged guilty of a state jail felony. Now, the fact that he was sentenced another way, does that make a difference?
If y'all please, in terms of the results, no. In terms of the ability for a prosecutor to preempt the judge or to say, Judge, this is where we want to go, yes.
But you agree he did plead guilty to a state jail felony?
Yes, he did, on the context of it being the principal charge in which he was originally facing. This was a subpart of that, which limited the possible sentence, and certainly the court can read it as well as I can, that he's limited to a class A misdemeanor.
It seems to me that the box below the one checked, but yes. Actually the situation you're trying to suggest, that box says, that was not checked by the judge, says, in accordance with section 12.44B, penal laws of Texas, the court authorizes the prosecuting attorney to prosecute this cause as a class A misdemeanor. The defendant is adjudged to be guilty of a class A misdemeanor. It seems to me that on the face of the document that the court did not choose that. They didn't choose to be a class A misdemeanor. Under the box checked, he was adjudged guilty of a state jail felony. It seems to me that completely undercuts your argument.
Well, under federal law, it doesn't matter whether the state says it's a felony or misdemeanor. Say, for instance, if the court saw a different...
No, that's not the point of what I'm saying. You're saying that this was a misdemeanor, that he only committed a misdemeanor.
But
that's not, it seems to me that next box unchecked, the dog that didn't bark, seems to undercut your argument.
If y'all please, the circumstances that we contend is, under the way this particular sentencing structure was, he couldn't have gotten more than 1 year. And that would be the definition of federal.
He
felony.
Could not have gotten.
That's correct. But under state, the way it was checked
but,
here.
But under a state, then you're dealing with the specific circumstances of this case.
Yes, sir.
You admit that a state jail felony in and of itself allows for a sentencing of up to 2 years.
That's correct.
But then you say, looking at that checked box, that indicates the judge said this person was. This person only could have been treated as a Class A misdemeanor. That's what you're saying.
Yes, sir, at that particular juncture.
But the next box seems to undercut that. The next box seems to say, if I, the judge, the Texas judge, had I wanted to treat this simply as a Class A misdemeanor, which would thereby limit the time and therefore probably make it not a federal felony, he didn't opt for that. He said, you're guilty of a jail felony. I'm just going to punish you as if you were a misdemeanor. It seems to me that undercuts your argument. You don't think that it does.
Well, if y'all please, this is an option that given to the prosecutor is, with most cases, that a prosecutor can reduce, change, alter the initial charges, right. And that would give the option there. Right. We're just saying that the court made this decision in box number 2, being the final decision of the court as to what the possible punishments would be. And that's, again, our argument.
Okay.
If y'all please, the circumstances that we would contend further with that is that certainly under definitional decisions under 18802 or 21802 rather, in terms of definitions for drug trafficking crimes, the same definitions of a federal felony would also be that of at a sentence that would be more than 1 year. So each of our arguments come to that conclusion eventually. Right. Any further questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
much, you reserve some time too, Mr. McClellan.
Yes, sir, I have.
Thank you very much. Mr. Rand, when you're ready.
Good morning. Good morning, and may it please the court, Ripley Rand for the United States. To sort of cut to the chase in this matter, the government would contend that the clear language of both the statute and the judgment in this case support a finding by this court that the Texas state conviction for delivery of drugs by constructive transfer constitutes a felony under federal law. In Simmons, as this court has noted, the test set forward in Simmons is a simple test. In note 9 of Simmons, this court said that you look at the offense class and that you look at the relevant punishment level available for that offense class. In Simmons itself, the defendant in that matter could not ever have gotten more than 12 months in prison. He was a class 1, if I remember correctly, class 1 or class 2 felony offender, and could not, under any set of circumstances, have gotten more than 12 months in prison.
Well, the distinction between that case and this case, in Simmons, the district court had no discretion as to what sentence could be imposed.
The district court in the Simmons matter?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the state trial judge had no discretion but to impose a sentence of less than 1 year.
That is correct, Your Honor. And in this matter, the maximum punishment, as the court has already noted, is up to 2 years in prison. In looking at the Simmons case and the...
So you think the distinction is, following Simmons, is if the court, the sentencing court, has discretion to go above 1 year, that in all likelihood makes it a federal felony?
Well, I think that looking at the clear language of the statute...
Well, you want to answer my question?
I don't believe it's a discretionary matter, Your Honor. I think that the court in the Texas matter with Mr. Romero's conviction said that, found that there were matters going to the ends of justice, and Simmons does not.
I think you better think it has something to do with discretion, because in this case, he did not get sentenced to a felony sentence. So it seems to me you have to suggest, as Judge Hamilton has suggested, and I've suggested, that you have to look at the discretion that the sentencing judge has, and if that judge can impose, if that judge is empowered to impose a felony sentence on the defendant at the time of sentence, even if she doesn't do it, it still stands as a felony for federal counting purposes. Do you disagree with that?
I misspoke, Your Honor. I misunderstood the question. I'm sorry. Under Simmons, the government would contend that Simmons does not stand for the proposition that you look at the minutia in every case. It is an offense-based test where you look at the offense and the level of conviction, the maximum level of conviction that a defendant could have. And under that, in this case, for the state jail felony, the defendant could have gotten up to 2 years in prison. That's correct. But in looking at the plain language of the statute and at the judgment, Mr. McClellan points out on page 115 the language about that the ends of justice would best be served by punishment as a misdemeanor. The government would note as to page 114 in the middle there that the state judge did designate outright that this was a felony conviction in the middle of the page where it says offense convicted of, and below that the judge checked the box where it says felony degree and then circled SJ, which the government pretends stands for state jail felony. And the Texas courts are in agreement that a state jail felony, even when punished by a misdemeanor sentence, does constitute a felony. In the Fifth Circuit case, Rivera-Perez, which the government cited in its brief, the Texas court noted, or the Fifth Circuit noted, that the Texas court said that it is the conviction itself and not the punishment that determines the nature of the offense.
Do you read that language in the checked box? It's actually X'd, but it's the box that is marked on page 115. What about the argument that the court finds that the ends of justice would best be served by punishment as a Class A misdemeanor? Does that, in fact, once he makes that determination, does that lock him into having no discretion to go above a misdemeanor punishment?
With respect to that punishment, once the judge finds that the ends of justice requires a misdemeanor sentence or is exercising his or her discretion to impose a misdemeanor sentence, under Penal Code 12.21, that does limit the judge to a sentence.
Well, that's what I'm asking you then. Is when he makes that ends of justice findings, does that in fact limit the punishment this person can get to less than felony punishment, and therefore we have to look at this as not a felony?
It does limit the amount of time under 12.21 that a defendant can get.
Well, I know that. I'm saying, but that determination, does that then make it, for our county purposes, that he's not looking at a felony for our purposes?
For this court's purposes, For this court's purposes and for any federal court sentencing purposes, the government would contend that Simmons does not stand for the proposition that you look at the minutia of any case. In the cases that this court
There's no minutia. That's not minutia. The question, in Simmons, we sure looked at exactly what that person, the maximum he could be sentenced to, didn't we?
Yes.
That's not minutia, is it?
That is not, no, the actual sentence, no, is not minutia.
Well, it's not the actual sentence, it's the maximum sentence he could face. That's what controlled in Simmons, isn't it?
The maximum sentence in Simmons, that defendant could not have gotten more than a year. That's
I'm saying,
correct.
But that wasn't minutia when we looked at that issue in that case, was it?
That was, no, not, that was not minutia. The maximum sentence that Simmons could have gotten was less than a year. The maximum sentence that this defendant could have gotten was more than a year.
You missed my question. My question is, though, when the judge finds in the interest of justice to be served by punishment as a Class A misdemeanor, does that affect his maximum sentence for purposes of our county?
In other words,
does that push it close to Simmons, and why doesn't it do that?
Under 12.44, Penal Code 12.44, the state judge looked at things like the rehabilitative needs of the defendant, things like the medical condition, family support, and things like that, things about the ends of justice, and decided to enter what the government would analogize under North Carolina structure sentencing would be a mitigated type of sentence, finding mitigating factors to lessen the sentence as opposed to that particular defendant. The test in Simmons that this court set forward was you look at the offense class and the sentencing level to look at whether the defendant could be punished by more than a year. The government would contend that given that, that you do not look at things like the mitigating factors, you look at the actual offense class and the punishment level to determine
right.
that.
Thank you very much. Anything further?
Nothing further. The government would rest on its brief. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. McClellan.
If y'all are pleased, I'll be very brief to the issue. One thing that the court has noted, at least in looking at page 115, we would contend, of course, that satisfies Shepard, the Shepard case, in which there must be some finding from the court record that the trial court can use to find out what the appropriate sentence might be. We would contend there's not anything in that particular sentence that says, in my discretion. We would contend that that does not satisfy Shepard to say.
Well, the front page says it's a felony.
Well,
114 says it's a felony.
Well, if it said it was a misdemeanor, that would not control whether it was a federal felony or not. The issue is whether it receives more than 1 year or not. And we would contend that...
No, it's not. It's not the issue of what he received. It's the issue of what he could have received.
Yes, sir. But we would contend that certainly, as far as the Shepherd reading, that we would contend that there's not sufficient evidence there to find that this was discretionary. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. And let me note, too, Mr. McClellan, that you're court-appointed in this case. We thank very much. Thank you very much for your service to the court. You know, we need to have lawyers step forward and represent these issues, and we appreciate the advocacy with which you've presented that to the court. Thank you very much. We're going to... What are we doing, Henry? What are we doing? We're going to adjourn court, then we're going to step forward and greet counsel, then we will step aside to confer on these cases, and then we'll come back out because I understand the dean's going to moderate a question and answer period for us. So we'll adjourn court.
This honorable court stands adjourned. Sine die. God save the United States and this honorable court.